Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Field Pass. This is Dan, and I have John and a very special guest, Robert Rosenthal, joining the program. Give us a little bit of a preview of the Nebraska game. Undefeated Illinois, undefeated Nebraska, ranked Illinois, ranked Nebraska, Friday night lights in Lincoln. How are we feeling?
Not exactly what we were expecting to see, where we missed a 4-8 ranked matchup going into week four.
No kidding. Like, if we win this game, we've met my season total for my expectation. We'd have to go 0-8 to match my prediction.
Not even thinking about that.
Yes.
How do you feel as we stand today, now that you had that prediction in the ether, now that you've seen three games here, a quarter of the regular season? What is that live prediction? Have you moved your line at all?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I had a moment during the Eastern game where we're just so crisp. It was on defense. It was like, So if we're that, you know, I thought the defense would be improved, but it was like, if we're that, then that changes a lot here. You know, just where the Eastern players were kind of like, we got nothing against this. Like, there's no chance here. So that's what changed that for me. Now, that said, as I wrote today, we could be down 17-0 beginning of the second quarter on Friday night, and we're all going to be texting each other and being like, are we about to lose 5 in a row? Because we're not going to be Penn State. And then if we somehow lose to Purdue for the 7th consecutive time in Champaign, we're going to lose to Michigan and Oregon, and then we're going to go into November 3-5 after starting 3-0. So, you know, there's still all this danger out there. I looked it up today, and this is the most difficult 5-game stretch on our schedule in 21 years. So, you know, that it's not going to be fun. 2-3, I'm throwing a party. Like, if we're 5-3 going into the Minnesota game, you have no idea the celebrations I'm going to be in.
You're about to get kicked out of Lot 31.
100%. I'll hit the siren and the lights while on the street and get pulled over for impersonating a first responder.
Where's Robert? Oh, he's just in jail. What happened? Engine 77.
That's right. Driving around town acting like he's fighting fires.
You probably could feign doing that, but I feel like you probably had to change. I know that you're on record with the heat affecting the Central Michigan game, so it's kind of good that even though it was pretty sloppy, they were still able to kind of keep them at arm's length. I mean, I think the spread ended at 21 points, but they technically covered if you got one of the better numbers in the week. So,
it bounced from 17.5 to 21. Everybody who hit it on the way up to 21 got their money.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So I feel like you can't really ask for much more in terms of like not falling for the classic trap game. It just now turns into, have they been able to identify enough of the, not wrongdoings, but enough of the things that need improvement going into Big Ten play? And so, we obviously, you know, your 4-8 prediction seems like it's pretty, I don't want to say foolish, but.
No, foolish is absolutely right. Yep.
But, you know, it could be something where maybe Kansas isn't that great. But even though UNLV is potentially a playoff team, so I don't want people to think that that wasn't too great of a win, because it still was really dang good. At the same time, it's like, you beat up on an FCS school, a maybe not so great Kansas school, and a MAC school, and now you're going to have some big boy problems going into Nebraska.
Robert, yeah. I want to go back to the fire truck real quick, because I remember you were live on the scene with the little fire that broke out at Memorial Stadium. Did the concept of the fire truck come before or after that moment?
It came before that moment. It was not my idea. Like, I want that known. It was Carmen's idea. In fact, just tonight, there's a group text with me and Carmen, two other guys, and our four wives. It's like the tailgate group text. And I sent something. It sent Carmen scrolling back through the group text, and he found last November when we were talking about something with the tailgate and like, there's going to be more people there, and we don't really have the capacity to bring that much stuff in the vehicle. He says something like, well, next year we'll have the fire engine, so we'll be fine. Like, so we had been discussing it over, a year ago, and now here we are with that. But yes, I forget who, I think it was in one of our group texts that someone made that reference to. Did you just get the fire truck because next time the stadium's on fire, you want to get down, get some water on that thing? That is untrue, but I've used whoever's joke that was, I've used it several times.
The columns are a little too hot this year, and
that's exactly right. Yeah, it's been crazy. I was driving it to take it to storage yesterday, and there's people like leaning out the window. There's like little kids doing the hit the horn, thing, you know, like just driving it around town is zany. It's great.
Do you need like a CDL for that, or like any kind of special licensing for to be able to operate that, or are you just kind of don't say anything if you're not allowed to?
No, I don't mind. I spent
rule follower Robert
July researching this topic. I'm on the phone with people in Springfield who are like, "Let me get my boss in the room because we don't really know the answer to that." So there is a specific license plate for it that is for, I believe it's called Extended Antique, and it exists for, the best way to say it is exists for vehicles that are going to be in parades. So the restriction on the license plate that we have on it is it can't be driven in the winter. And the reason they put that restriction in there is because they don't want somebody who doesn't have a CDL driving a fire truck in a parade on the snow kind of thing. So it is able to be driven 9 months of the year, just not in the months of December, January, and February. I'm sure when this law was put in, Chicago fought so that things could be driven in the St. Patrick's Day parade in March. But I just can't drive it those 3 years. And because of that, it's basically a special category so that, you know, an old tractor, an old farm equipment, any of those antiques that show up in parades, that they can be driven on the streets and licensed on the streets and don't have to be in the same category as some guy with a combine or some guy with a fire truck has to, you know, has to go to training for how to operate a fire truck or whatever. So the whole category just exists for that purpose.
How many miles per gallon on that thing?
I don't know, but I shouldn't tell this story.
Wait, before you do, about to dub in. I rediscovered a sound of you saying, "Let Grandpa Robert tell you a story," in your Grandpa Robert voice from like,
oh my gosh, yes,
two seasons ago the other day. So I'm gonna dub that in right now.
Okay, I'll pause to let you put it in right here.
Let Grandpa Robert tell you a story.
And now we go. So, it takes diesel. Okay, it's a big old diesel engine. The first time I filled it up, yeah, I'm gonna tell all my stories here. So, Carmen and I go to a gas station out by Olympian Drive and I-57, and we go to the truck side of the thing. You know, they got the canopy over here for the cars, and over here is for the semi-charger trailers, okay? So I'm like, I guess I probably got to be there. So I pull up to the pump, and it says truck diesel on it. And I'm like, is there a, like, Carmen and I are in the car, like, is there truck diesel and car diesel?
How many different diesels are there?
Are there differences? So I call my son, who knows everything about cars. This is my son in Idaho. He could fix this thing. He has a diesel mechanic training. So I call my son and I say, like, what am I? And he explains to me, it's the same gas. There's not a truck diesel and a car diesel. It's just those pumps, because these big rigs are putting in 300 gallons into their tanks. These are high pressure gas pumps so that you don't have to stand there squeezing the thing for 40 minutes filling at that rate. Okay. I'm like, okay, good. Here we go. I try swiping my card, and the machine, the pump is basically like, yeah, this is not how this works here. Like, you have to have a corporate account, and you have to prove you have can't just swipe a debit card and we're going to count that you if you're about to put $550 worth of gas in or whatever. So I have to go inside prepay. Okay, I'm just like an idiot in there. Like,
yeah, I want to get some truck.
So I go inside, I prepay, I come back out, I put the thing in. I don't know if you know this, like the diesel nozzle is bigger. Like you couldn't put the diesel nozzle in your car. That's why it's like that. But this thing, I swear, was even bigger than that.
I believe it.
Vin Diesel.
Yes. So I put the pump in, squeeze it. I'm like, okay, it's going good. Latch the little thing, stand there, and it rejects the diesel and sprays me. I'm like, all of my clothes are just soaked in diesel fuel.
Oh no.
That's my life.
Which Illini shirt were you wearing?
Let's see. That's a great, it was a ReliaQuest Bowl. It was the cotton ReliaQuest Bowl, not the nylon shirt.
Okay.
So anyway, so yeah, I have to go home and I have to change. And anyway, that's not even the story I'm telling.
The diesel didn't take.
So we store it for now in Rantoul. And so I have to go to Rantoul to get it for the last three weekends. Then I park at my driveway and my neighbors all look at me funny. And so I go get it. This, you know, we had put that gas in. We do two tailgates, two trips to Rantoul. I noticed on Saturday morning while driving there, I'm like, wow, it's like an eighth of a tank of gas. Like it's, you know, this is really kind of, my son had told me, he's like, don't fill it up to where if you're going to park it in November and you just park it half full of diesel and that diesel just sits there for 9 months and doesn't move or whatever, you know, try and keep it a little limited on what you, so I'm not going to fill it up all the way. So I get to the tailgate, driving home after the tailgate, I'm turning into my neighborhood and it starts running a little rough. Like, you know, when you're mowing the lawn and it's like, oh, is this out of gas? So now I'm like, you got to understand, you don't just like, oh, hey, guys, can you help push this over to the shoulder? Like I turn, my wife is moving my son's truck so I can pull it all the way up in the driveway. And it's like, I'm like, if this dies right here, it's here for days.
You know? It might be here forever.
Yes. And so thankfully it doesn't die. But I'm like, it's still, I'm looking at the, it does, it's not pinned on E. It's like still eighth of a tank. But I'm like, what if that gauge, I mean, it's an old gauge. It could just be off. So I went, bought a 5-gallon gas can. I filled it with diesel fuel at the gas station.
Truck diesel?
Car diesel. I drove it, you know, I came here, I filled it up. So then when I'm leaving, I start it up and it runs a little rough for maybe 15 seconds and then smooth idle and everything else. So I think it was nearly bone dry to where if I lived 3 miles from the stadium and not 1 mile of the stadium, there would be a story out there, Robert broken down on Kirby Avenue with the fire truck out of gas.
Brett Bielema so, comes to tow you.
That's right. Exactly right. So, yes. So, there's my fire truck stories for the weekend. I don't know how to pump diesel fuel. I don't know what truck diesel is. And I nearly ran out.
Will this fire truck be making it to any away games? Or is this strictly a home game vehicle?
That is the biggest question we have gotten. And again, it's not just me. It's five other guys. So, the six of us, like, vote on things, basically. You know, on, like, what are we going to spend on paint and decals? What are we going to, like, we can't just, like, have one person making decisions. We have an LLC. We've done phone calls. We have a whole thing around it. So the biggest question I get is, are you going to do that? And we have talked about it. The biggest issue, I just mentioned, a tow truck for that thing. Say I'm driving it to Wrigley and I want to park it at Wrigley. If I could even find a place to park it, if I could even drive it down the streets with, you know, but if I could get it to Wrigley and find a place to put it, if it just breaks down on I-57 on the way home, it's like $3,000 to have it towed to some facility. So, because it weighs so many tons. So there is the question, like, we have decided if we're ever in Indy, that thing is going right to Lucas Oil. I'm just driving laps around it, hitting the horn. I don't care. But and if like we were in like say the Music City Bowl, I would consider 4.5 hours, 5 hours to Nashville, something like that. We could maybe stomach that and do the rest. I mean, it doesn't have that many miles on it. It's a diesel made to run forever, so it should be okay. But that's the risk of all this is like that. It's like that thing breaks down. It's no joke. It's not just call a little tow truck. Like you're called Triple R.
Might have to start charging about $10 a photo opportunity just for the slush fund, just in case you ever get stuck. And it's just money that sits in the pot.
Like, oh, look, he's trying to make money off fans. Yes, that would really work well.
Can you imagine the B-roll for that game if you had, like, it broke down on Neal Street, and instead of them, like, you know, the classic shot of, like, oh, they're, you know, grilling burgers and hot dogs here in Grand Cove, and instead it's just, like, thousands of people pushing a fire engine down Neal Street. They're like, yeah, and this is the pregame scene here in Champaign, Illinois. That would be, I'm not praying for that thing to ever break down, but it has the opportunity to do the funniest thing for pregame footage for sure.
That's right. Yeah. There's so many, like, you know, it was pretty cool to get that photo with the entire basketball team on it. But when you own a fire truck and you see Will Riley climbing up steps on the thing, you're like,
sign a waiver.
He falls. Uh-oh. I'm the most hated man in Illini Nation.
Oh yeah.
100%.
Not even close.
Yes.
Well that's 15 minutes of talking fire trucks.
Yes, that's right.
You come here for football, we give you fire trucks.
That's right.
So you'll be taking a regular car with car diesel fuel to get you to Lincoln, Nebraska this week?
100%. Yes, I have a rental car. I'm not taking the fire truck. I mean, we do, like, we might try it next year at Purdue. Like, that's, you know, 89 miles or whatever. That's probably doable. I mean, when I drive to Rantoul, it's 20 miles each way, you know, each time. So driving that wouldn't be bad. I don't really want to put it out on the interstate. In fact, I don't know if that plate, you know, when I was talking to the state about what the plate is like, they're like, you know, some municipalities have different, their own ordinances for parades and things like that. So just make sure you're aware, you know, this is just written so that equipment like this can be driven, you know, antique vehicles can be driven for display for whatever reason. So it could be that I'd get out on the interstate and some state trooper pulls me over and like, hey, with that plate, you can't just be, you know, hauling around the state or whatever. That's made for this or that or whatever. Or maybe I would need to get my CDL at that point. So we're taking it moment by moment. But yes, would I love to drive right past Purdue Stadium with the sirens blaring after we beat them? Dear God, would I love to do that. So yes, we will consider that, but all six of us got to vote on it.
They've got the drum. We've got the fire truck.
Stack. You drive it right through.
Right through the drum.
Just we fill the tank. We haven't filled the pumper tank with 1,000 gallons of water. We fill it up. We get the high pressure hose. We aim it right at that damn drum. Send that thing rolling across the field.
That would be electric. I need this to happen so badly.
The only way to end the losing streak.
Yes.
Well, Robert, you've been to Lincoln, Nebraska for games. I've never been there, but I want to get your thoughts on A, the stadium, but B, the fan base. And like, it seems like right now they're riding high after not being in the AP top 25 since 2019, I think is the last time they were there. And now with the 3-0 start, with the flashy freshman quarterback Patrick Mahomes Jr. They seem to have
Patrick Mahomes cosplay.
Very weird.
Yes, very weird.
I hate to harp on a 19-year-old, but it's kind of weird.
It's odd. Yes,
it's odd at like best, right? Like
yes,
kind of creepy. Like
yes,
the mannerisms down to it's like. I wouldn't be surprised if he has like a lock of Patrick Mahomes' hair somewhere, like in his house or something like that.
Right.
He's got a shrine.
Right.
But generally, when you go to Lincoln, Nebraska, what's the reception for an Illini fan like?
I just said, I think I said this on the TV thing on Sunday night, but like they're the nicest fan base to opposing fans intentionally. Like they pride themselves on being like, it's almost a little weird that you get to your seat and like the people in front of you are like, welcome Illinois fans. And the people behind you are like, you guys having a good time? And it's like, what am I on a TV show? What's going on right now?
Are you punking me? Yes.
I know what John's thinking. John's thinking this sounds like St. Louis Cardinals fans, best fans in baseball.
That is exactly what it's so funny. I was like, must be a high percentage of Cardinals fans living in Lincoln, Nebraska.
As a Cardinal fan, I will 100% agree with that. There's a pride in that sellout streak, and there's a pride in like, well, when you go to Iowa, the fans are jerks to you around you. So when you come here, we'll bake you an apple pie. So it's, you know, after the game, we went, I sat in the stands, but I think I went to the press conference because I had a press pass. This is a 2022 game. And then I met my buddies that we sat in the stands with. I came out by like where the team was and, all the players, the Illinois team buses and this and that. There was Nebraska fans approaching that area that came up to us and said, we take a photo with opposing fans at every game. Can you be the Illinois fans for this photo? And so we stood in our Illini gear and took a photo with them so they could have their, and then we met the nicest Illinois fans, and then we met Purdue fans, and, you know, whatever. So that's the vibe. That's 100% the vibe in Lincoln. It's also very crowded. 80,000 people into a stadium that they just kept going out and up.
Yep.
You know, just walking through a concourse, walking to your seat, trying to find a restroom. Like, it's a lot. We were on the older side, not the newer side of the stadium. So I'm guessing, you know, in somewhat like Memorial Stadium, it's better on one side than the other. But where we were sitting, it was rough. Like, just, that's all. 80,000 is a lot of people. It's a lot of people.
We wouldn't know what it's like.
That's right.
You're one day, maybe.
Well, we had 78 at the Missouri game in 85. God, how do I know that? Why? The things my brain contains, like that I know that I care about, it's just crazy. It's stupid. Anyway,
just the facts. Just for moments like these, you can pull that out. People will be like, right. "Wow, how does he know that?"
That's right.
I did look up earlier since they're Memorial Stadium and we're Memorial Stadium. Which one came first? Mm-hmm. You want to take a guess?
It was us.
Yeah, it was us.
It was us.
October 20th, 1923, Memorial Stadium in Lincoln, Nebraska opened. November 3rd, 1923 is what they dub as the official date. So literally 2 weeks before us, which is insane to think over 100 years ago that if we trust Wikipedia.
However, we started our campaign in like 1919 and we had those Memorial State like right after the war. So the way I've always heard it is that like, they stole our idea. Now, Indiana, they do. I mean, Indiana just flat out, they went Assembly Hall after our Assembly Hall and Memorial Stadium after our Memorial Stadium.
You know, that's so viral tweet in Field Pass history.
Really?
The Assembly Hall and Memorial Stadium tweet about how really? We were first in both.
Interesting. Do you know what my most viral tweet is?
Let's hear it.
It is the video I took last year at the Ohio State basketball game where nearly the entire upper deck was empty. And basically the Ohio State media hadn't been like sharing crowd shots. And so it was this, oh dear God, I didn't know. So some Cleveland radio stations, then a Cincinnati radio station. So it went viral with Ohio State Twitter.
Wow.
So it was the most notifications I've ever got. Just quote tweets of fire this man immediately. Holtman has to go. This is a disgrace. So
you broke the propaganda veil.
Yes.
You broke through.
My viral tweet is the fact is is because I went viral in Ohio State and it got shared everywhere with them of, and he was fired like 6 days later or whatever. So, wow. You know, there, I'll put that on my tombstone.
Connect some dots.
Got Holtman fired.
I would have thought it's the photo of you holding up the neon Illini sign.
Yes. No, I think, honestly, I think the next closest is when I took a little video during the COVID season where Io was shooting a technical free throw, shot the free throw, and then acted like he was high-fiving players who weren't there. And so I just took a little video of it and put it up, and stuff like that just goes funky viral.
Of course.
Yes. How's this football preview coming along? I feel we're doing previewing the football.
Revenge game. Friday night last year in Champaign did not go according to plan. I think we lost that one 20-7. Weren't really all that competitive in that game. We couldn't run the ball in that game is what I remember from it. And now we have how many revenge games this year? Brett Bielema has talked about it. I know in a press conference or two about how many rematch games
we have.
Get them back
for last year.
Yeah. I
mean, Kansas 1, Nebraska 2, Purdue, Penn State last year.
Even like the prior mashup with like Michigan.
Soda, but we beat them. Michigan State, I guess, for 2 years ago.
Northwestern
we lost to last year. And
the Michigan 2022 game?
Yes.
Oh. The screw job on the pick play? Yeah.
I was talking to Lauren Tate yesterday. After the press conference, I rode down on the elevator with him, and we stood in the parking lot and talked for a while because he's my buddy. And he and I were talking through, I mean, the fact that at 92, this man's brain can still pull out, like how many close games we lost to Michigan. It's the beginnings of an article I'm going to be writing before that thing. But I first asked him about the field goal. You guys are too young to know this. 85 game against Michigan. It's 3-3. We go to kick a field goal to win the game. A Michigan player gets a finger on it. It flutters, 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 hits the crossbar and comes back. So we were a crossbar from beating Michigan. But then there's the tie game in 92. There's the Imani Toomer clip game in 94. There's the... I mean, now we get to your guys. You know, there's the 2000 game, which is the famous screw job that started college football replay. There's the 2007 Kyle Hudson fumbled the punt game. There's the 2010 67-65 in overtime game. There's 2 years ago, the screw job. You know, there's all these close, heartbreaking Michigan games. You know, the 85 tied because the field goal hits the crossbar. And so that's why that game is still so just like so massively important. I think we're going to go 1-4 in the next five games. And I'll be fine with that. I think I'd love to go 2-3, but I think we're going to go 1-4. And I would be okay with losing to Purdue if we beat Michigan. Like, I'd hate to extend that Purdue streak, but I want that Michigan game so freaking bad.
They're looking as gettable as they've looked in a while this year, too.
Yep.
And Purdue, yeah, I know we're not talking like, I know this is Nebraska preview, but even that Notre Dame-Purdue game.
Yeah.
Ooh, who's teaching those boys to tackle? I that was not so, you know.
Yeah, that had serious Iowa 63, Illinois 0. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was... That was no bueno, but... I
hate to see that, right? Real shame.
Yep.
Danny's hot take before the season was that we're gonna beat Michigan, and it's looking like less and less hot as the weeks go on. if we get another like multi-interception game, then I'm going to be feeling confident that we should, you know, depending on how the next couple games go. But yeah, if 2-3 with wins against Purdue and Michigan would be like the dream scenario, because if we want to segue into Nebraska, I'm not feeling too great about it. I know that obviously getting three wins to start the season is wonderful, but I just feel like there's still too much there in terms of the middle of the field on both offense and defense that Nebraska, especially with Matt Rhule, is just going to take advantage of. I don't know how you guys are feeling. And Robert, I know that you're not a prediction guy until you sit down at the keyboard, but still just like the general vibes. I'm not feeling the greatest just to kind of kick it off.
Yeah. Dan, how are you feeling?
The only thing I've been latching onto, I'm not feeling all that confident, but the one thing I've latched onto is Jalen Daniels after the Kansas game in his postgame presser. He was talking about how Illinois' defense was disguising and he was having a tough time figuring out if they were man or zone on a lot of plays. And with a freshman quarterback like Raiola, that's my only hope is that, you know, we start showing him looks that he is yet to see and doesn't have the experience to see yet. And,
you know, I
mess
just
with him that way
tonight where Matt Rhule said the same thing at his press conference today. He said the same, like, you got to understand this defense is very well disguised as to what they're doing. And that's going to be a struggle for us. So, I mean, speak it into existence.
And I also have selectively seen clips of Nebraska play. And the one clip that I remember most is the deep ball where Bleacher Report or someone's like, look at this unbelievable throw from Raiola. And I went and watched the play and he underthrew a deep ball by like 15 yards. The wide receiver came all the way back and caught it and then got in the end zone. And I was like, well, if he throws that ball against Illinois, that's going the other way. No doubt.
Yeah, one of the Scots has got that.
Yeah.
You hit on two things I hate there, aggregation tweets and the idea that Nebraska is suddenly really good.
Play the hits.
Yes, 100%.
So that's what I'm latching on to. I still think a hostile environment like that, sold out crowd, night game, national TV, first road game of the year is not something that I would be betting on as an Illini fan. But Luke Altmyer, we're talking about first three games last year. I think he had 3 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. This season, 6 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. So he's doing what we need him to do, and that's the Tommy DeVito thing of take care of the football. And, you know, if you can win the turnover battle, maybe you give yourself a chance in that game, and that's what I'll latch on to. But if I had to put my money on the line, I'd be betting Cornhuskers.
Yeah, my main thought is we're +8 in turnover margin. That's gonna even out over the next. And 2, just can we run the ball? Like if this is a game with 22 carries, 42 yards, or something like that, if it's that kind of game. I mean, I love Pat and I love Zakari, but that's not going to be enough. You know, we'll have to run the ball. So, you know, I'd love to see it. I was talking to Carmen earlier, and we were talking about the, what was it, 2015? Whatever that game was where Reggie Corbin had his first ever, like, breakout game. We lost at Nebraska, but it was close because suddenly Corbin went off. So Carmen was like, what if a healthy Loughery and suddenly, you know, it's like they weren't preparing for this and we're running a screen game with them or something. You know, we just find a thing that they weren't ready for. You know, the barge in you know, at Penn State in 21. Just we've done so many of those things before of like, oh, that's new. They must have been hiding this for weeks and running it out there now. So I'd love to see something like that, that there's, you know, we're preparing some kind of little something to make the game different.
We already tipped our cap at the Brandon Henderson package last week. So
right.
It's gotta be
that's
something
exactly
new.
Where I was going to go. Yep.
Yep.
I agree. Like it feels weird to say for a Brett Bielema team, but they're probably going to have to lean on the receivers. And it's like at this point, and I'm super concerned with it being the first Big Ten test for the interior of the offensive line. Like I'm very concerned about the push that Nebraska will likely generate. So even if it's just quick game, your most dangerous weapons are on the outside receiver. So I don't know exactly what it looks like in terms of, you know, scheming up the ball to them because they'll probably be playing pretty bump and run. Cause that's the other thing about Matt Rhule is like, he's instilled a pretty good, tenacious mindset. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're really looking to hit us in the mouth early, but I think you just you have to lean on Pat and Zakari, because otherwise it's just going to be like, they're very good up the middle, yeah, on defense. And I just haven't seen enough. Like, going back and watching, even, and like we referenced before, and like you wrote about, Robert, the Central Michigan game, like, was very hot, but there's still enough there in terms of just not getting the push when you need to, or not even getting up to the second level when you need your big backs to gain ahead of steam. Like, you can't have Fagan and McCray just kind of running into the line and hoping that they fall forward for 3 yards on a cloud of dust every single time. You're going to need at some point to combo up to the backers and break something. And maybe it's, you know, feed five time and you just lean on the freshman for 20, 25 carries. I wouldn't hate that, but it would also be kind of a crazy spot for his first road game in college to just be the feature back. But I don't know. They're going to need to find something creative on offense. And on defense, I like that the pass rush kind of showed signs of life against Central Michigan. It wasn't quite like the mush rush that you saw in trying to contain Jalen Daniels. So, like, it's good to see that, but at the same time, Dylan Raiola is a five-star because not only can he throw the ball really well, but he's a good athlete. Like, for as much as he likes to impersonate Patrick Mahomes, he's still sneaky athletic, or whatever you want to call it, enough that you let him break contain a couple times and he's going to beat you not only with his arm potentially finding a guy open down the field, but even with his legs. So I'm not necessarily concerned, because I still want them to have the tenacity of like Central Michigan rather than playing contain like they did at Kansas. But I just think there's kind of still, all that to say, I'm not surprised that we opened up as, you know, 10, 9-point underdogs.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a comp. You have to stay with me on this comp, okay? You ready for this?
We're ready.
Here's where my hope would rest. Nebraska football 2024 is Illinois basketball 2019-2020. You know, so many years not even ranked, so many years wandering the desert, the fans like, nobody understands. We went to 21 of 24 NCAA tournaments in a row. Like, what? Like, there's no one understands that we deserve this. We should be. This is our rightful place. That's how we felt. And that season, we win those, seven games in a row or whatever. You know, we beat Purdue at home. Then Io hits the shot at Wisconsin over Brad Davidson. We start on that roll. We win seven straight. We're ranked for the first time in forever. Then we had that Maryland Friday night game where we came out and went up like 16 or something like that. Maryland was top 10. We were top 20. And the fans were like, this is it. We're back. This is 100% all the way back. We are there. It's over. We're fully back, and then we just like fell apart. So if we go down 14-0 or 17-0 on Friday night, I'm going to be thinking, let's be Maryland, you know, like let's be the team that's like, you're not all the way back yet. Okay. You're not fully you're not there yet. Calm down. Congrats on getting to where you're at, but it's going to take a little bit. And for, you know, look at Illinois basketball. We just got to the Elite Eight last year, you know, the culmination of all this building and building and building. So there's my like hope, is that Nebraska maybe scores an early touchdown, gets it, goes up 10-0 or whatever, and has this like, that's it. We've done it. We have returned Nebraska football. And then there's let's just stay focused. And that freshman quarterback's going to make mistakes, and we can still do this. That's my hope.
Do you get the sense that this team, this Illinois team, has that attitude to be the team that's, you know, we're not that worried about Nebraska because we're Illinois? It seems like the defense is starting to build that edge a little bit, but to me, I don't know that they have it like, you know, two seasons ago when that defense had that attitude and they knew they were good and they played like it.
That's a great point. If this was a year from tonight, we were talking, I believe I would absolutely say that. You know, we have so many, who knows what happens with the portal, who knows what happens with the NFL declarations, but you know, defense is basically all juniors besides you know, Seth Coleman and, you know, Briggs and T-Rot. So, yeah, I feel like we could have that kind of attitude in a year. We're probably not there right now.
Matt Bailey has that attitude. Xavier Scott has that attitude. We need everyone else to have it, though.
Yes. I do think we have returned to, like, I feel like that's something that can be counted on, that there is a DBU thing going on right now, and last year's struggles have turned into this year's acceleration. It's just, I mean, I'm sure every preview of this game is saying the same thing. Can we stop the run, and can we run?
Not to belabor your comparison, but I also kind of love that, because thinking about that Illinois, like, even just thinking about Brad Underwood and Matt Rhule, they kind of comp well as, like, hard-nosed, like not the kind of guys that would let their teams have that kind of a letdown, even if they start hot in a game. But sometimes it's still just like college kids getting overconfident and, you know, letting a moment kind of build up too much in them. So I'm going to take, personally, at least I'm going to take some solace. If the boys go down a little bit early, I'll just be like, okay, now this is actually a two touchdown lead is the worst lead in football or the worst lead in football. That's what we're going to go with for this Nebraska game.
Yeah. Yep. I always worry about that. I mean, like the Keyshawn Vaughn touchdown against North Carolina, you know, that crowd is so hyped, second or third play or whatever, we score a touchdown. And it's like in everyone's mind, it's like, we're back, we're unbeatable, this and that. And then, oh yeah, it's really hard. So I would love to deliver the, oh yeah, it's really hard message. And hell, maybe Bielma mentioned it yesterday. Maybe we get the rain game. Maybe there's a little sloppy like Purdue in 2019 or something like that. You know, let's get nuts. Let's have some crazy things happen.
Have you put your meteorologist hat on yet? How is it looking?
I have not, because I feel so much meteorological shame
from for last week
into, hey folks, there's a hurricane on the way, and then it just bombs out and dies and hits dry air, and we get sprinkled a little bit on Friday, and that's it. And so, I need a couple of weeks of penance here of staying away from the weather thing.
I'm doing a live forecast right now. Tropicaltidbits.com.
It's kind of one of those, like, when does the, like, a line of thunderstorms is going to come through. It's just, when does it come through? How about that? What if we had that? We got the national broadcast, we're on Fox, and what if there's like an hour and a half lightning delay, and we're finishing this thing at, you know, 1 a.m. on the East Coast?
All right, you heard it here first. No rain, according to meteorologist Dan Saladino, live on the Field Pass. It doesn't look like I'm going to go out and say 0% chance of rain. That'll never backfire.
I was going to say that I'm going to be the only one left if we're playing two cards now. And if we're at one in the morning watching the line of football, I honestly wouldn't hate it, but hopefully it's rainy, but not like weather delay, although that probably benefits us.
Only rain in the forecast is Luke Altmaier deep balls to Pat Bryant and Zakari Franklin.
Oh, that's the professional right there, ladies and gentlemen. I got a
fun live game we can play on the pod right now.
Let's get it.
Just saw two texts from my son. Said something like, "What's your Venmo again?" And I owe you $32 from Amazon. So let's, before I look up what he ordered, what do you think my son logged into my Amazon and ordered something for himself?
$32.
This is the 29-year-old.
So this is the one our age.
He's not embarrassed by it.
Yeah, he's not embarrassed by it.
I mean, no hair product.
Oh, that's a good one. He did once order some kind of cologne on our.
I'm gonna guess some sort of phone accessory, like a new phone charger or something like that.
I'm going to guess. No, they probably don't get that. He's been known to do the, oh, I just bought that movie and put it on the Prime so that, you know, he uses
a lot of movies.
$32
whole
though.
Family would want to watch it. You know, everybody else would want to, like, you know, if we can all get on the Prime, if mom's on an airplane, she can watch it too.
But what movie's 32? What movie's 32 bucks?
Entire family a service by purchasing the movie while we all have access to the front. Okay, I'm gonna look it up here.
There's, I don't know any movies unless there's some crazy premium content of some sort that's $32. And this is a kid show.
I was gonna say, yeah, we might need to cut the segment then.
View your order. Oh dear God!
No,
gentlemen, this is the greatest moment in the field pass history. What in the hell? Okay, I'm gonna show this to you. I don't even want to tell you what it is. I'm just going to tell people it's a Halloween costume. That's all I'm going to say out loud. What?
What kind of party is he going to?
Oh, man.
That is unbelievable. I can't believe I just did that live on the air.
I think they have conventions for those.
Oh my gosh.
We're going to need, there's going to be a random like tweet from the Field Pass account of him just like in that cast, just no context, just picture Halloween party.
Yes.
That's one that might deserve an explanation later.
Yes. Should I say what it is, or is that selling my son up the river? I mean, it's obviously, it says Halloween costume.
Do you think he would care? He didn't care enough to order it off your account.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I think he forfeits the right. Yeah, when he puts it on your account, he forfeits his right to privacy.
Him to ask him what it's for. He'd better say Halloween. If he doesn't say Halloween party.
The deals are great this time of year.
Yes. $2. It's nothing. It's a steal.
Wow.
Oh my God. Oh, wow.
I thought one of me or Dan had like nailed it.
I thought for sure it must have been hair product.
That is,
it couldn't be further from the truth.
Nope.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Okay.
How do we
bring this one home, boys?
How do we segue that one? How about you give us your X factor for the game, Robert? I know you can't make a prediction, but give us, you know, I don't know. Give us an X factor.
My X factor for this game is Seth Coleman. We've been waiting for the Seth Coleman game for a while. You know, he's led the team in sacks the last 2 years or whatever, but still, sixth year senior, freshman quarterback, you can rattle him. You can get in his face. That's what we like. If we could get to him four times, that changes the complexion of this whole game. You know, I don't know if we can get to him. Maybe we need Joe Barnett to get to him. But yeah, we need to rattle him. We need to be in his face, not just even sacks, but pressures, make him think too much, make him just force him into mistakes. And so, you know, even if it's like not throwing the ball away or trying to make a play or whatever, just get in his head. That's what you can do to a freshman QB. So, let's go do it. So I'm going Seth Coleman.
We want him to get so rattled that he looks like a different NFL quarterback with the frizzy hair. He looks more like Caleb. You squint your eyes real hard.
I like that.
John, who do you got? X factor.
I'm going the man who probably plays opposite Seth in practice the most. My guy, as he goes, we go. Melvin Priestley. Mm. We are, even though it's kind of front running in a sense, but you got to lean on your best players to go out there and perform in a game like this. And like, as much as I would love to see a bounce back from Geske or Kreutz, or I don't know, just lean on JC Davis, running behind Melvin Priestley has been the key to success this season. And I just am so in love with him that I think you just, if you're going to feed five, run him right off of Priestley. And that's, it's very simplistic, but I just think that he's such a tone setter for that offense. He can pick up slack in the sense of adding that nastiness. And he got his first, 15 yard penalty, which I thought was one, pretty soft, and two, fine. If he's going to get that out of the way against Central Michigan, cool. Like that, it took him to his third game for a guy who I think was either the most or one of the most penalized offensive linemen in Division I last year. So that's something where keep it contained, but go out there and set that tone early and often so that it's not 14-0 and just keep running behind 58.
I like it. I like it a lot.
All right, Dan.
I'm getting fired up now.
You're next.
I was also going offensive line, but I'm going with Josh Kreutz. And most, I guess, the main reason for that, the defensive tackles on Nebraska. I know one of the guys, Nash Huttmacher, he's like 6'6", 320 or something. And you know what we say, John, low man wins. Josh Kreutz is getting under those shoulder pads. Out. But we need the interior line to hold up in this game, or we're going to have a long evening and a long flight back to Champaign. So for me, Josh Kreutz finally establishes it, the superior Kreutz, although his brother's been getting some playing time. So I'm sure the rivalry's strong with the Kreutz brothers, but I want Josh Kreutz this week as my X factor.
Bonus X factor, James Kreutz with the club gets in and punches the ball out from Dylan Raiola.
He almost did it last week.
Yeah, he had a couple. Yeah, I feel like it almost adds a little, it takes away a little bit of fear because I'm sure guys are worried about like breaking their hands. I wouldn't be surprised if James maybe mess his hand up trying to force a fumble, but with that big old club just right for knocking a ball out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that hit stick play.
Oh my gosh, that was amazing.
Yep.
That is everything that we could have dreamed of.
Sophomore.
Reminds you a little bit of that high school tape, Robert.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
All right. That's X Factors. Robert, any last thoughts? I'm going to let you go before John and I make our predictions so we don't influence
you can't spoil this beautiful mind.
All right. And stick around if you want.
I need to know. I got to go have a conversation with my son.
You should just tweet out like you should get a screenshot of that and just tweet it out right now from your account and just no one knows what's going on.
He would hate that.
Oh, all your followers just seeing
viral on Ohio State Twitter.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
That's how we clickbait the field pass episode, is just random no context tweets from Robert.
Robert's most viral tweet of all time.
That's right. Honestly, my main thought is how freaking fun this is, right? Like, yes, it's Friday night, but I think I just wrote this in the article today. I can't remember where I say that. Maybe I said on the radio today, but like every bar in the entire country on Friday night will have a television showing Illinois, Nebraska. And on those televisions in every bar in the country will be a little 24 next to the Illinois and a 22 next to Nebraska. Like, that's all I've ever wanted in life, And so I'm just happy to be here. Like, that's where I'm at with this of, okay, toughest five-game stretch in the last 20 years is what we're facing. 2-3 would be fan-freaking-tastic. And I'm ready for it, I'm just excited to get there. If we don't have what it takes, if Rail is the real deal, whatever, if we falter in our first road game, whatever, if we win, Katie bar the door. Like I'm ready to write 10,000 words next week. So I'm pumped.
We're taking the fire engine out for a spin.
Oh yes, we are.
You got me fired up. I'm just thinking about, I don't know, around the country in those bars, the people that are college football fans, and they look up, they see the ranking next to Illinois, and they're like, wow, Illinois is having a good year, huh? Like, that's good for them.
we finally got back to, like, we, the amount of 2- and 3- and 4-win seasons that we've had to go through recently, like, we can't take that for, like, I feel like in just the blink of an eye, Brett Bielema has had us ranked down multiple times in his tenure. Like, the fact that that's just like, oh yeah, sneaky going into our fourth game, we're ranked, just like, oh, that's casual. But like, it was so bad for so long. And now it's just like, we have a top 25 matchup.
Yep. 23, 24, or sorry, 03, 04, 05, 06. We won 8 games in 4 years.
Wow.
You know, we could win our fourth game in September. You know,
before October,
on Friday night. Yes.
And we said it before Kansas, like, what if we do win?
Yeah. Then Penn State, Illinois, like number 9 against number 16 or something stupid. Like, it would get nuts.
Yeah.
It would get nuts. And we're 60 minutes away from that.
A reality we all want to live in.
Yes.
I'll we will talk that. Playoff picture.
Yes.
I need that. There will be a reaction pod. If I guarantee you, Dan and I will stay up, even if there's a rain delay until 2 a.m. and we pull out that game, we will go live in some capacity and talk about how we are going to make the playoff. We will walk you through that situation in which we are hosting a playoff game.
You could just say, like, okay, 2 losses and we're in the playoffs. We're 10-2 gets us in. So then what? Okay, let's just say Oregon, Penn State, and we're fine. So we can go 2 of the next 4, sweep November, and go to the play. Okay, I got to stop. We're going to lose by 51, and I was going to stop in a week. So I got to stop.
If we win.
The vibes going to where they were going.
If we win, Robert, and that Nebraska fan comes and asks you for his opposing fan photo, you're shirtless. Yes. You're shirtless in that photo. Guaranteed.
Yes, 100%.
All right. Get lost. Okay. We've had it.
Go predict. I'm going to hop off so that I can not hear your prediction.
All right.
Keep it pure.
That's right.
Thanks for joining us.
Let's see you, fellas.
All right, John. Time for everyone's favorite part of the field pass prediction time.
We got rid of Robert, so now it's time to get down to business. As much as that last segment just fired me up, and I so badly want to predict. I feel like through the season preview and even, you know, the Kansas prediction, I've had pretty rosy colored glasses on. I just am not, I can't get there yet. I can't get there with the issues that we've seen on both the interior offensive and defensive line. The fact that this is going to be, you know, a real test with, not that Jalen Daniels isn't a threat at quarterback, but his passing prowess has been shown now through this season that it's nothing super special, and maybe the OC was the magic juice for him. So I don't know. It's a true freshman going up against his first conference game on a Friday night. So I want to hope that, you know, the guys will set the tone early, but then I just have, like, you know, flashbacks to that Indiana game, that conference opener where we got robbed and just couldn't find a way because, you know, weirdness on the road on a Friday night. I'm going to go Nebraska 24, Illinois 17. And it pains me to do that because
that's a cover, by the way, folks. That's Illinois is a 7.5-point underdog. So 7-point loss. You see the cover.
I forget if we covered against Eastern or not. I don't think so. But I know we covered against Kansas, obviously, because we were underdogs there. And then we covered, depending on the number we're pushed, against Central Michigan. So listen, the old adage is good teams win, great teams cover. So you get out there with a 7-point loss and you at least have a lot of people loving the Illini because they make them money, or you know, hating the Illini because they bet Nebraska. But still, that you still gain a little bit of respect there.
I'm with you on it. I, similar to you, see a difficult test ahead of us. I think I'm just worried. First big road game, crazy environment, night game, national TV. The lights are going to be bright, and I'm not fully bought into this team, you know, winning a game like that just yet. I think they've turned the corner on the defensive side of the ball. But I think we're going to sputter a little bit, and I'm going to go 27-13 Huskers. I'm going to say no cover.
No cover for the boys. All right. Well, it sucks kind of ending on that note.
I know.
I feel like we should almost like splice this so that Robert, him, his sign off is like the end of the podcast, because I don't really want to leave it on this poor of a note. But it's just...
here's what I'm gonna do. Instead, I'm gonna leave it as is, but I'm gonna add in just let Grandpa Robert tell you a story, just the sound bite of it,
mm-hmm.
like right here, just to liven the spirits on the back end of the podcast a little bit.
All right, I love it.
Let Grandpa Robert tell you a story.
All right, well, that will wrap it up. Illinois, Nebraska, revenge game, Friday night, 7 p.m., Fox, ranked team versus ranked team. If you're not there, go watch the game and enjoy it in a bar.
Any bar.
In your living room, wherever. It's not often we get these opportunities, so we'll leave it at that. As always, thanks for listening. Go Illini.